everybody else, if you would, open up to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. We have been in a sermon series called Faith Foundations since January. And we've taken a couple of detours and looked at a couple of different things. But for the most part, we have been in this series. And the series is a re-examination of the fundamental beliefs that we have as Christians. What do we believe? Why do we believe it? I think there's great value to going deeper into what we believe, but I think there's also great value in thinking back through the basics and the foundation of what we believe as well from time to time. So we're finishing the Faith Foundation sermon series today with a look at what is probably the most well-known verse in all of the Bible, John 3:16. Some describe John 3:16 as the Bible in a sentence. Some describe John 3:16 as the gospel in one verse. However you choose to describe it, it's hard to deny the impact that this verse has had in the lives of so many people throughout the years. Thank you, guys. I appreciate y'all. I believe John 3:16 is one of many verses in the Bible that tell us about the greatest love that the world will ever know. But perhaps no other verse in the Bible captures it so brilliantly and yet so simply. So we're going to have the verse on the screen now, John 3:16. Says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Beautiful verse, very familiar verse, but so much there for us to know and to learn even more about. So I'm excited about us looking at this verse. So think about good news for a minute. There's all kinds of examples of good news that we can receive. Like, it's a boy. That's good news. It's a girl. That's good news, right? How about when the doctor says you're in remission, you're cancer-free? That's good news, isn't it? How about when you go to order a milkshake at McDonald's and they don't say, "I'm sorry, sir, the ice cream machine is out of order." That don't happen much, but when it does, that's good news, right? There are endless examples of good news that we can receive, big and small and everything in between. But no good news can compare to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pause again and pray before we continue. Heavenly Father, Lord, now as we come to the time in our service where we worship you through the reading and preaching and proclaiming of your word, I pray that you give each and every one of us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to obey. Speak to us, God, in a powerful way. Move in our hearts and our lives and prepare us to leave this place and to go out into the world ready to live in a way that points others to you, God. We pray that you would receive all the glory and the honor through the reading of your word. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So in just a few moments, we're going to read through the larger section that John 3:16 is found in, 14 through 21. But before we do that, I want to describe the setting that familiar, famous verse is found in. A man named Nicodemus has come to talk with Jesus. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. That means he was very well versed in the Mosaic law. He was looked up to as an authority on spiritual matters. The Pharisees as a group, in the beginning, they were skeptical of Jesus, and then by the end, they were outright enemies of Jesus. He was part of this group, and because of his status as part of this group, the Pharisees, he came to Jesus at night so as not to draw attention to himself. He wanted to interact with Jesus to see what Jesus was really all about without having to give an account to this group that he was a part of. So he begins the conversation with Jesus by acknowledging that there's something special about Jesus, by acknowledging that the signs and the wonders that have occurred during Jesus' ministry, this is evidence that God is with Jesus, right? So clearly at this point, Nicodemus' understanding of who Jesus is incomplete, right? He's growing in his understanding of who Jesus is. At this time, he's thinking of Jesus as an anointed teacher, but he did not understand that Jesus was and is the Son of God. Well, Jesus doesn't waste time with small talk. He cuts right to the heart of the matter, and he begins to talk to Nicodemus about the kingdom of God. And he tells Nicodemus that a person must be born again to see the kingdom and to enter the kingdom of God. And so this basically blows Nicodemus' mind. He has no idea how to respond to this. All he can come up with in response is how. How can this be? How can these things be? So we're going to pick up with this conversation now in verse 14. John 3:14 says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him," through Jesus. "Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he's not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God." Lord, we thank you for your word. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith. If you take the gospel away, if you take the cross of Christ away, there's nothing left. Our faith would crumble. It is the foundation of what we believe. So as we consider this passage together, I want to give you four key components of the gospel. Four key components of the gospel. Here's number one. Here's the first one. Number one, God's love. The first key component of the gospel, it starts with God's love. For God so loved the world. God's love is the motivation behind the cross and the empty tomb. When I tell you that nobody loves you like God loves you, that's not hyperbole. That's the truth. There is no love that could compare to the love that God has for mankind. And when we want to figure out the value of something, one of the main ways that we figure out something's worth is we measure what it costs, right? What did this thing cost? If it's really expensive, then we must think this is really valuable, right? If you want to measure the value of God's love, just think about what it cost him. For God so loved the world. What makes this love so amazing is that God loves a world, so loves a world that rejects him. I want to read from Romans 3, 10, 11, and 12. These won't be on the screen. It says, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. All alike have become worthless. There is no one who does what is good, not even one." Verse 18, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." This world that is so anti-God, it is this world that God so loves that he loves so much that he was willing for his only begotten son to suffer and die on the cross so that we could have eternal life. No one loves us like God loves us. So the gospel starts with God's love. Number two, the next key component of the gospel. The next key component of the gospel we need to know about is this: God's gift. That he gave his only begotten son. See, God's love isn't just a feeling, right? It was followed up with an action. All of us know just from living life that it's a whole lot easier to say I love you than it is to actually back it up and show somebody that it's real and it's true. Plenty of people have said the words without actually showing that they mean it. But God showed that he means it. It's true. He showed us that by giving his only begotten son for the sins of the world. So think about it. It was for the sins of the world. He did that for me, for my sins. Why did Jesus have to go to the cross for my sin? Why shouldn't I go to the cross for my sin? Why shouldn't you go to the cross for your sin? It had to be Jesus. Because God is holy. He is completely without sin. And he demands a perfect, holy sacrifice to pay the price that our sin owes.
Amen.
Jesus is the only one who meets that perfect standard. I want us to look now at one of the most incredible, most beautiful verses in all of the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He, God, made the one, Jesus, who did not know sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. That's a beautiful verse, and I don't understand. I can't comprehend why God would do that for us, but he did it, and I'm so thankful that he did.
Amen.
There's no greater gift that has ever been given or ever will be given than God giving his son, Jesus, so that he did this so that we could be set free from sin and have eternal life with him. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. The next key component of the gospel is this, number three, God's purpose. That whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Number three, God's purpose. Remember, this section, these verses, they're part of a conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was an intelligent man. He knew the Old Testament scriptures better than most. So Jesus uses the Old Testament when he brings to mind Moses and the snake in the wilderness, because that helped Nicodemus to understand what Jesus was telling him. Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That word must indicates the absolute necessity of the crucifixion in order for anyone to be saved, for anyone to be born again. The cross had to happen. Without Jesus being lifted up on the cross, no one would have hope for this life or for the life to come. If you think about it, Nicodemus had a lot of things going for him. He had a lot of things he could hang his hat on. Lots of things to be proud of. Lots of things that other people were impressed by. When it came to knowledge of the scriptures, Nicodemus was an expert. But Nicodemus's knowledge couldn't save him. As part of the Pharisees, Nicodemus had great power and authority. But his position couldn't save him. As far as obeying the commandments of the law, Nicodemus was more obedient than just about anybody else, but Nicodemus's obedience to the law couldn't save him. Nicodemus needed to be born again. That was true for Nicodemus, and that is true for you and me. Amen. And everybody else. I'm a pastor. Being a pastor is not going to save me. You're a church member, or at least a church attender. Being in church ain't going to save you. We can all try to be good people, but listen, being a good person, that's not going to save you. Only the blood that Jesus shed on the cross can save us. Amen. I want you to listen to this closely. This is so good. I didn't come up with this. Somebody a lot smarter than me did, but this is so good. Listen to this. God's grace gives us what we don't deserve, which is salvation, and God's mercy withholds from us what we do deserve, and that's God's wrath. God's grace and God's mercy are available to whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ. That's good news, y'all. That's the gospel. All right, that leads us to the final key component of the gospel for us to consider together. Number four, our choice. God's love brought us God's gift, which accomplished God's purpose and leads us to our choice. That's the gospel. John 3:18 says, anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned. Then verse 19 says, people love the darkness rather than the light. Verse 20 says, everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it. Verse 21 says, anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light. Now, if you flip back a couple of pages to chapter 1, you'll see that one of the ways that Jesus is described is as the true light that gives light to everyone. You see, Jesus came to bring light into this dark world of sin. Jesus, the true light, brings the opportunity for each and every person to make a choice. What is that choice? Accept him or reject him? That's the choice. I read a story about a couple that took their young son and daughter to Carlsbad Caverns. And they went on this tour down deep into the cavern. And when it reached the deepest point, the tour guide turned off all the lights to dramatically show just how dark, just how quiet it is below the earth's surface. And so the little girl was frightened by this overwhelming darkness. She began to cry. And then in that darkness, she heard her brother's voice say, don't cry, sister. I'm sure somebody here knows how to turn on the lights. Right? If you think about it, that's the gospel. Even when darkness seems overwhelming, the light is available, and people just need to know how to access that light. When we believe in faith that Jesus died on the cross and rose 3 days later, we are choosing his light over the world's darkness. But it's a choice that everyone makes for themselves. Nobody can make it for us. God's love brought us God's gift, his only begotten Son, which accomplishes God's purpose, which is redemption for us, and leads to our choice, accept him or reject him. So leading up to the sermon this morning, I prayed what I always pray before every sermon. I prayed that God would bring people to the church that need to hear the gospel, and that they would respond in faith, that they would hear the gospel, really understand the gospel, and really see, maybe for the first time, that God loves them so much and that they would respond in faith and be saved. Mm-hmm. I also prayed that for those of us who are believers and have been believers for a long time, that a passage that's as familiar as John 3:16, maybe this morning wouldn't be quite so familiar. Maybe we could hear it in a fresh way. Maybe we could understand it even more clearly than we have in the past. And I pray that every one of us would be inspired by the gospel and excited about the gospel, and that we wouldn't be able to keep the good news of the gospel inside of us even if we tried. I got another story, an illustration about why we can't keep the good news to ourselves. Many years ago, there was a man named Fritz Kreisler. He was a world-famous violinist, and he had earned a fortune playing music and composing music. He had traveled all over the world. But most of the money that he earned, he gave away, very generous. And on one of his trips, he came across the most beautiful violin he had ever laid his eyes on. And he wanted that violin so bad, but he didn't have the money for it. And so he decided he was going to do whatever it took. He was going to earn the money, come back and buy that violin. And so he continued to perform and compose, and he earned the money. He returned to the seller, and sadly, the violin had been sold. A collector had bought it. And so Kreisler got the collector's information, and he decided, I'm going to go to his home and ask to purchase this violin from him. So he goes to the man's home and offers to buy the violin, and the collector said, I'm sorry, I can't sell the violin. It's my prized possession. It is it's the key part of my collection. I can't bear to part with it. So Kreisler, again, very disappointed. And as he was about to leave, an idea came to him. And so he turns to the man and he says, hey, before I leave, and before you put that violin back on the shelf, and it possibly is never played again, before it's silenced, would you mind if I played something for you on that violin? The man says, absolutely, I'd love to. So they sit down at his home, and Kreisler takes that violin, and he just plays from the heart, and he plays some of the most beautiful music that collector had ever heard in his life, and it just stirred up something inside of him. And so that collector, when it was over, he said, I can't keep that violin. He said, I want you to have it. He says, I have no right to keep that to myself. It's yours. Take it into the world and let people hear it. If you and I know the gospel and our lives have been changed by it, then we should be that, like that collector that said, I can't keep this to myself. I have no right to keep this to myself. We've got to live it out. We've got to speak it out. We've got to share the good news of the gospel, right? And then live in a way that shows people the love of Christ. When we do that, God uses us as his instruments, his vessels, to accomplish his will. That's a beautiful thing. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the gospel?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful that you love the world so much that you would send your only begotten Son. We are thankful that redemption and salvation, it does not require us to meet certain qualifications. It only requires us to believe in faith. We thank you, Lord, that you did for us what we could never do for ourselves. Jesus, we thank you that you went through everything that you went through before, during, and after the cross. And we thank you that after those 3 days, you came out of that tomb. You rose from the dead. And when you did, you defeated death. You defeated sin. And you made a way for us to have eternal life. We thank you for your love. We pray, God, that we would know it and share it and live it. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, as we're going to sing an invitation, a closing song, so I want to ask you to stand. I want to ask you to respond to the gospel in faith. Maybe you need to respond in faith by trusting God for salvation. If that's the case, I want to invite you to come forward. And I would love to talk with you and pray with you and celebrate your decision to trust the Lord today. Maybe you need to respond in faith by committing to share the gospel with the people that God brings across your path. And listen, it doesn't matter if you've struggled to do that in the past. Today's a brand new day. Today is a brand new opportunity to be obedient to God's calling, to share the hope that you have within you. So however the Lord leads you to respond, you can do that at this time.